This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. The movie Anonymous, directed by Roland Emmerich, opens this week. And except for the heavy use of computer-generated images, it is nothing like his previous disasteramas. 2012, The Day After Tomorrow, Independence Day. But that's not why Anonymous will be controversial. The ads show the silhouette of an Elizabethan man holding a quill pen with the tagline, "Was Shakespeare a fraud?" As long as there have been professional Shakespeare scholars, there's also been a minority of fervent Shakespeare skeptics. Mark Twain, Sigmund Freud, Orson Welles, and others all thought that William Shakespeare had a ghostwriter. Studio 360's Mark Anderson, no relation, wades deep into the "Was Shakespeare Shakespeare?" debate.
True confessions time. I am a heretic. I don't think William Shakespeare, the actor from Stratford-upon-Avon, wrote all those plays and poems. That sounds nuts, I know. But back in 1993, I heard some scholars argue that Edward de Vere, an Elizabethan court playwright, wrote Shakespeare's work. The more I read about de Vere, the more it made sense. Ultimately, I even wrote a book. And now there's this new movie that's going to change things.
None of your plays will ever carry your name. None.
We have created this reimagining of the Elizabethan era.
This is John Orloff, the screenwriter of Anonymous.
And what I try to say to people is the first thing you have to remember is it's closer to North Korea right now than America right now.
Right.
That Elizabethan England was this incredibly totalitarian state. It was a feudal society run by a dictator, without free speech, without any of the things we think they might have had.
Orloff's point is that Edward de Vere, the Earl of Oxford, could write better plays if his name wasn't on them. For heretics like me, we're called Oxfordians, Anonymous is a golden opportunity. It comes at a price, though. For the first time ever, millions of people will be paying attention to the controversy. Great. But Anonymous is rip-roaring entertainment, not a historical argument. Queen Elizabeth, the Virgin Queen, has children who run around staging rebellions. Will Shakespeare kills another playwright? These things didn't happen, and Oxfordians will take some knocks as a result. On the other hand, we're used to it.
When you are questioned by people, I don't always have the answers. The one that always stumps me is why.
This is Derek Jacobi. He's done King Lear, Hamlet, Richard III, The Tempest, and on and on. Jacobi is an outspoken Oxfordian, too.
Why would he hide? Yeah. You can come up with a number of reasons. And who would have known? Why? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist, which is a big put down. But I find it difficult to answer.
To me, I just give a three-word answer: sex and politics.
Sex and politics? Yes. Why? Sex and politics. Yes.
In the smallest nutshell I can find, here's the case for Edward de Vere and against Will Shakespeare. Start with the paper trail. Will Shakespeare led a well-documented life as an actor and businessman, but the biggest literary manhunt in history has turned up essentially nothing suggesting he was a writer. No manuscripts, no letters, no records of anyone paying him to write anything. He didn't own any books, which is really weird. When you read popular biographies of Shakespeare as an author, what you're reading is conjecture. In the words of Mark Twain, Shakespeare is a brontosaur, 9 bones and 600 barrels of plaster of Paris. By contrast, Edward de Vere's epic life story practically haunts the Shakespeare canon. I can name hundreds of ways that his biography corresponds to the Shakespeare plays.
If I could just get a word in,
of course.
That's Alan Nelson, professor emeritus of English at the University of California, Berkeley.
The Shakespeare profession is virtually unanimous in accepting William Shakespeare of Stratford as the author. And it's really a romantic and a post-romantic idea that authors put themselves, their own autobiographies, into their tales, or in this case, plays.
For starters, I asked Nelson about a new book called Shakespeare's Guide to Italy. It's filled with examples of how Shakespeare's depictions of Italy are note perfect, but Will Shakespeare never left England.
The reason for that is everybody likes to have Shakespeare be their own.
Well, but my point is...
I recently got an email from a woman who thinks that Shakespeare must have been Jewish because he understands the Jewish customs so well. Doctors like to think he was a doctor. Lawyers like to think he was a lawyer. People who live in Italy like to think he was Italian. Fair enough. This is just, again, wish fulfillment. All you have to do is pick and choose, and you will have your wish fulfilled.
Nelson and I have been arguing about Edward de Vere for years. We both wrote biographies of the man.
There's one point, it seems to me, in which there is a real lack of overlap that I'd like to bring up, and that is Edward de Vere had his own playing company, founded in 1580, and it existed until 1602. So this is my question. If the Earl of Oxford had his own company called Oxford's Men during all of this period, why would he have given his plays to a rival company?
It's a good question, and I don't have a good answer, except to note that Will Shakespeare's company was much more successful than De Vere's, and De Vere was always broke. Here's an example. By the age of 40, De Vere was financially ruined. He had three daughters by his first marriage, and he had to disperse his ancestral castle amongst them. Change castle for kingdom, and you have the setup for King Lear.
Know that we have divided in three our kingdom, and 'tis our fast intent to shake all cares and business from our age, conferring them on younger strengths, while we unburdened crawl towards death.
When De Vere was returning from Italy, he ran into a foreign nobleman who was leading an army on the march. The leader staged an impromptu parade of his troops before De Vere's eyes. Then De Vere boarded a ship for England, and the ship was overtaken by pirates. This exact same sequence of events happens in Hamlet.
On all occasions do inform against me and spur my dull revenge. What is a man if his chief good and market of his time be but to sleep and feed? A beast, no more. Sure, he that made us with such large discourse, looking before and after, gave us not that capability, and godlike reason to fust in us unused.
De Vere's sister was a raging fireball who met her match in a swashbuckler who wooed and wed her. That's the Taming of the Shrew.
Come on and kiss me, Kate.
Do you want me to go on for the next 2 hours? Yeah, me neither.
If the plays contain the life of Edward de Vere, nobody noticed that until 1920. And therefore, everybody who interpreted the plays missed this main point, which to me is an irrelevant point.
So you're saying, in Patsy Cline's words, how could we be so wrong for so long?
Yes.
Okay. Score one for Nelson.
For me, the problem with Edward de Vere is that he was never capable of seeing anything from any other person's point of view from his own. And a great dramatic playwright has to be the opposite of that. He has to see things from the point of view of every character, including the minor characters.
The Earl of Oxford was often a jerk. No argument there. He made life hell for people around him. But do we really think the greatest author in the English language also has to be nice?
Oxford's an ass. I tend to find most artists are, actually.
That's John Orloff again, the screenwriter of this new movie, Anonymous.
I don't know a filmmaker or screenwriter who is not self-obsessed. And I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way. I mean, because at the end of the day, what you really are saying is, I know the world better than you do. I know it enough that I can share it with the rest of the world. And that is a very, very egotistical thing to say.
And Roland Emmerich himself, the director? I met him after a screening of Anonymous. He blames the court of public opinion for holding back the truth.
I didn't understand when I was making the movie and decided to make the movie how powerful the literary establishment really is. So it's very, very hard to jump over your shadow and say, you know, your like teacher didn't told you the truth. That is a very, very big departure for anybody in life. I always like to compare it a little bit. I'm gay, so it was a very hard thing for me to come out.
Right.
What? It's just like this inner thing. You know you're right. You know you're like kind of have a right to be gay, but do you really want to say it?
In other words, Emmerich suspects there may be many more Oxfordians out there, hiding in the closet, so to speak, than we think. I really don't know if he's right. All I can say is, if he is, this drama is going to get pretty interesting pretty fast. For Studio 360, I'm Mark Anderson.
Mark Anderson is the author of Shakespeare by Another Name. A new ebook edition is out this month. And the movie Anonymous opens this week.